Is this thing? Hope it's working. So this is the, we could call it top 10 topics in Kachin. These are basic principles, ideas, that as we learn through the beginning of Menachos, or somebody were to learn through the beginning of Zvachim, or any different topic in the world of Kachin, these are basic terms that are going to come up over and over, and they're going to be referenced, and therefore it's kedai for us to have some basic familiarity with them just as a starting point. Okay, so the first topic here on our list is Sugei Kedusha, different types of Kedusha. So the most basic kind of Kedusha, the most basic level of Kedusha, is what we call Kedushas Damim. Kedusha literally means sanctified or designated, consecrated. It is for a specific purpose, and in this context, it means it's for the purpose of the service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Beis HaMikdash. Kedushas Damim means that the Damim, the value, the monetary worth of this item is consecrated to the Beis HaMikdash. So that could take one of two forms. Either something could be consecrated to what's called the Bedek HaBayis. Bedek HaBayis is referred to, it's a pasuk in the Navi. That's the upkeep, the treasury, the Gizbar, who is the custodian of this coffer. That's the money which was used for the upkeep of the Beis HaMikdash. And then there's another form of Kedusha, of service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Mikdash, and that's for the purpose of being offered on the Mizbeach. Something which is Kedushas Damim for Bedek HaBayis could be any item that you may have in your house that you want to consecrate and devote to the service of the Beis HaMikdash. So you have a bicycle, you could theoretically donate that bicycle to Hekdesh, and the bicycle itself isn't inherently kadosh, but the value of that bicycle is going to be kadosh. The Gizbar probably doesn't have much use for a bicycle, so he will sell the bicycle, somebody will be poded, and they'll use that money for some Hekdesh purpose. So that's the first kind. The second kind is Kedushas Damim la Mizbeach. You could take an animal and be makdish the animal for its value, the value of the animal, not that the animal itself would be brought to the Mizbeach. I mean, it may turn into that, but that's not your original intent. Your original intent was to be makdish the Damim. Its potential to be something else we'll get to in a second. But if you're makdish it just for its Damim, the Gemara says in Menachos and Davkuf Amid Beis that you can then be pode that animal. You can redeem it. As long as it's only Kedushas Damim, you can redeem it. But beyond the level of Kedushas Damim is what we call Kedushas Haguf. That's where an item itself has inherent Kedusha. How do you endow Kedusha in an item? So when it comes to a Zevach, it's Niktash B'Kedushas Guf, with what we call Kedushas Peh, designation, verbal designation. This animal is Kadosh for a particular carbon. So let's say if somebody said Hare Zu Ola, then that animal now has Kedushas Haguf. It has inherent sanctity. We'll see nafkamiz of that in a second. But that's a little different than when it comes to Menachos. If you say about a bag of flour, Hare Zu Mincha, or Hare Zu Lemincha, that's only Kedushas Damim, it's not Kedushas Haguf. It only attains the status of Kedushas Haguf when you take that flour and put it into a klisharis. A klisharis is a utensil that has Kedusha and endows Kedusha to that which goes into it. And that's later on, the Gemara Menachos has a lot of discussion about klei lach and klei yavesh, but a mincha does not attain Kedushas Haguf until you put it in a klisharis. And the reason for that, there is a commentary of the Raivan on Temur, on the first page in Temur, which is on Daf Chaf Hey Amid Beis, where the Raivan says that unlike Zvachim, when it comes to Zvachim, Kedushas Peh alone endows the animal with Kedushas Haguf. When it comes to a mincha, there are a lot of other things that need to happen to make that mincha into a korban. For the case of the Zevach, you just shecht it, and that's it. That's the only thing that happens when it comes to mincha. First, they have to put in most of the minachos. You have shemen, potentially you have lavona, you have a lot of other things. You may be belila, you know, a lot of things going on there. So the Ravid says that mincha is chaser bo maisa rabba. Lots of things need to happen, and therefore it doesn't attain the level of kedushas haguf until you put it into the Kli Sharis. Now, practically, you could give an animal or a mincha Kedushas HaGuf earlier on, but the Gemara describes that they didn't use to do that until the last second. Why is that? Because they were worried about the hazards that go along with something being Kaddish B'Kedushas HaGuf. Whenever you talk about Kedusha, you're dealing with closeness to the Ribono Shel Olam, so that closeness also has hazards. There's a cautionary element to that, because when you come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you have to be careful. And you can't infringe on that intimate relationship that you have through the mechanism, through the medium of Kedusha, by stepping out of line. So one nafkamina of something which has Kedusha Sakuf is, let's say, it was touched by a Tvul Yom or a Mechusa Kippurim. So those Tvul Yom and a Mechusa Kippurim, that's a very low level of Tumah. But for Kodshim, it will pasal them. Not if it's Kodesh B'Kedushas Damim, but if it's Kodesh B'Kedushas Haguf, it becomes pasal. Similarly, this is in the Mishnah, it's in Me'ila.
Shul
D'Rabbanan? What's that?
Shul D'Rabbanan.
That is a good question. I think that's D'Oraisa.
Shul D'Oraisa?
I think that's D'Oraisa.
Psul is D'Oraisa?
I think so. I think the Psul is D'Oraisa. I don't remember offhand, though. It's a good point. I don't remember offhand. I have to check again that Mishnah, Me'ila Daftes, and the same thing the Mishnah says, it's a Psul Lina, also can only affect something that says Kaddish B'Kedushas HaGuf. There is then, I skipped. I was wrong. My apologies. You don't have a Psul Mechusa Kippurim and Lina yet when it's Kaddish B'Kedushas HaGuf. Sorry. That didn't kick in yet. I want to give that one more minute. But once it's Kodesh B'Kedushas HaGuf, you can't have Pidyon. That's the major nafkamina. Oh. So then you have a further, and of course then there's Me'ila, which we'll talk about a little bit later. But the difference between Kedushas Dam and Kedushas HaGuf is that Kedushas Damim has Pidyon, Kedushas HaGuf has no Pidyon. Both Kedushas Damim and Kedushas HaGuf have Me'ila, but in different ways. Then there is perhaps a third level of Kedusha. And this is what Rav Shechter refers to as Kedushas Karbon. And he's not the only one to refer to this. If you look in the Levush Mordechai, which is the Shiurim of Rav Moshe Mordechai Epstein, the Chevron of Rosh Hashiva, in Simen Vav, he makes the same point that the first Avoda that is done to this Karbon, that endows it with even a higher level. And that's what gives it Kedushas Karban to be possible if it's Naga B'Tvul Yom Mechusa Kippurim, or if it had Lina. That's the Mishnah and Me'ila. It's Dafka, the first Avoda. How does the first Avoda work? So when it comes to Zvachim, it's what we call Sakin Mekadesh, by shechting the animal with a Sakin. Tosa says 2 days, 3 days, whether it needs to be a Kli or not a Kli, or if it needs to be a Kli Sharis. But the Gemara has an expression, Sakin Mekadesh. So what does that mean, Sakin is Mekadesh? It means that it's Mekadesh, the animal, to become now not just Kodesh B'Kedushas HaGuf, but B'Kedushas Korban. How does it do that? It's being Mafrid the Chela Kakavoa. By removing the blood, which is the first, we'll talk about this in a little bit, at the Avodas Adam, by taking the blood out of the Korban, you have separated it to be designated for Hashem, and that avoda is what creates the Kedushas Karban. Similarly, when it comes to a mincha, when you do kmitza, that's the first avoda of the mincha, that is what endows it with Kedushas Karban. And the nafkaminas of that, number one, we mentioned about being nifsal, but there's another nafkamina. There's a little bit of a discussion about this in the context of mincha. If you take a look in the Tshuvas of Yitzchak Elchanan Spector, in the Zecher Yitzchak, in Chelek Aleph, in Simen Mem Ches, I think that's where it is. That's what I wrote down. It's also discussed, although there's some confusion about this, in the Mikdash David. And for those who are going to learn Kachin for the first time, Mikdash David is, of course, a very important sefer, David Cohen Rappaport, on topics in Kachin. It's the concept called Dichui. Dichui means something was disqualified, it was Nidche, it was pushed off, and now it's near it. It now reappears as the potential for being used as a karbon. The concept of dichui appears in multiple places in Shas, in multiple different contexts. Let's say in mitzvos, for example, if you have a hadas that was disqualified, it was nidche, and then it was nireh. Let's say you had a lot of berries on that hadas, and it was nidche, then it was nireh, you cut off the berries, things like that. So in the realm of kachim, we have similar types of possibilities where something might be nidche. So, for example, you can only offer a korban on a mizbeach that is shalim. If the mizbeach is nifkam, if it's dented and damaged, so you can't offer a korban. So let's say you have an animal, and then the mizbeach was nifkam, so what happens to your korban? So the korban is nidche. So Gemara first has a machlokes, the matanoim about dichui in general. Then the Gemara has a further machlokes about whether there's something called dichui bebalei chayim. Can you be madche? Does dichui take effect on something which is alive? Why is that an issue? Why is dichui different when it's alive versus when after the animal was shechted, before it was nizrak l'dam? Well, the answer is, Rav Shechter explained, is that when the animal is alive, it only has kedushas haguf. When the animal is shechted, now it has kedushas karbon. So if you hold of dichui, naniach, most assume that there is such a thing as dichui in karbonos, in kachim. So if you hold of dichui, then perhaps that concept only applies to something which has kedushas karbon. But before the animal is shechted, it doesn't have kedushas karbon, and maybe it doesn't have the psul of dichui. That's the machlokas. So the Zeicher Yitzchak makes a suggestion that potentially before kmitza, you have the same thing that you won't have necessarily. It's a machlokas in Balei Chayim. Before kmitza is the equivalent of dichui b'Balei Chayim, because it's not yet kadosh b'kedushas karbon. So that's the first topic to think about, the different kinds of kedusha that exist. Kedushas damim, kedushas haguf, and kedushas karbon. Now, second topic that we should be aware of is that there are different kinds of karbonos. There are nidarim and nidavos. The first Mishnah Maseches Kinim tells us that there are two different ways to formulate a person's obligation of creating a karbon. One is hare alai, the other one is hare zu. The person says, hare alai, if one were to say, hare alai, it is incumbent upon me to bring an ola, that would be different than looking at an animal and saying, hare zu ola, what's the nafkamina? Mishnah says, nafkamina is achrayus. If you say it's incumbent upon me, if the animal gets struck by lightning, so I have to bring an ola, whether this animal is the ola or some other animal. As opposed to if I say hare zu, and that animal gets struck by lightning, then I'm off the hook. The explanation of this, there's an interesting Ramban, Ala Torah, and Vayikra, and Perek Chav Beis, Pasuk Yud Ches, where the Ramban says that the person who takes a neder, he says, is usually taken in a time of tzara. Neder be'ez tzara, like Yaakov Avinu, Vayidar Yaakov neder, or when the Jewish people were fighting in late in Sefer Bamidbar, so they took a neder. So Ramban says, a neder is, it's looking forward to the future, to some far-off destination. You know, I'm thinking about that Yeshua, and I promise that at such and such a point, so there's a longer-term commitment. Whereas a person who brings a nedava, they say, right now, this is what I want to bring, that's what I want to give. So it's an interesting distinction in terms of the level of responsibility, but perhaps that stems, says the Ramban, from the person's mindset of, you know, a guy brings a nedava, says, harezu shlomim, that's it. If the thing gets lost, okay, that's not what he was planning for. I suppose a person says a nether, but he's planning for a longer-term commitment. So we will see there's a big difference between a nether and a nedava that's going to come up in different ways. Another distinction that's going to keep coming up is the distinction between a korban tzibur and a korban yachid. How do you know what is a korban tzibur and what is a korban yachid? There's one surefire way to tell. Who pays? That is the distinction between a korban tzibur and a korban yachid. That's what the Mishnah says in Shkolim, Perek Dalet, Mishnah Aleph, that korbanos tzibur come from Trumas Halishka. That's why every year you have to have a new contribution, a new machzis shekel, because the korbanos tzibur have to be from the new shekel. All the korbanos tzibur are coming from communal funds, and that has to be from this fiscal year. So the fiscal year in the Hektish begins from Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Yeah.
There's a shalom when it comes to Korban Pesach. But my understanding of that was that the categorization of a korban is kavu b'sman or not kavu b'sman.
Oh, great.
So why is our category of paying as opposed to sman?
Great, because the Mishnayos say, I think it's in two places. It was in the end of Temura, and it was somewhere else, where we pointed out that the Mishnah first suggested that a korban tzibur is defined as being zmano kavua, and a korban yachid is being eno zmano kavua. But the Gemara the Mishnah right away says that that's not necessarily true.
Yuma,
right? It was also a Yuma. Yeah, it was both. It was both. So the Mishnah's in two places. So this Mishnah appears in two places, at least. I think it's quoted in other places, but I think it's in two places in the Mishnayos that, let's say, par helam davar shel tzibur. So if the Sanhedrin makes an error, which would, based on the Mishnayos, the requirements in Horius, which would require them to bring a korban tzibur, that, the Gemara says, the Mishnah says, is not zmano kavua. So the nafkamino that you're pointing out is in terms of dechiyas tzibur. Now, it happens to be the korban Pesach that you're mentioning. Korban Pesach is a korban yofid. Question. End of story. Period. However, that being said, the Gemara says it is in many respects treated like a korban tzibur because it's ba b'kenufia. The Gemara says yuma daf nun or nun aleph, something like that. It's ba b'kenufia. It comes as its hukraf as a tzibur. So there are aspects of it. So similarly, potentially, the Midrashim talk about how the korbanos of the Nesiim had a shtickel quasi tzibur aspect to them, which may explain how they could offer a korban of the Seir Nasi or the Karban of the Nesiim on Shabbos when it's a Karban Yachid. Generally, so the distinction of Shabbos and non-Shabbos is based on Xeris HaKas of Moado, and it's always dependent on Zmano Kavua, based on that. The distinction between a Karban Tzibur and a Karban Yachid depends on who pays. And the other interesting thing to think about, the Chinuch writes in Mitzvah Tuf Aleph, is that the question of where the responsibility lies to bring these Karbanos is different. The Chinuch writes that the responsibility to bring Karbanos Tzibur is on the Beis Din. The Beis Din is responsible to ensure that the korbanos tzibur are offered. It could be, I don't know, but it could be that this is one of the reasons why the Beis Din HaGadol sat in Lishkas HaGazis. Because not only did they perform the job, the function of being the arbiters of halacha, the judicial and the legislative, they also played another role. Rav Shechter quotes this, for some of you, I don't know, have you ever heard this? Rav Shechter quotes Rav Soloveitchik many times that they are referred to as Netzidgei Klal Yisrael. That's how Rav Shechter explains it. They are representatives of the Jewish people. And that is the role that they are playing when it comes to being the overseers of the Avoda. It's not a psak halacha. It's not a judicial question. It's not a legislative question. It's that they are the ones who represent the klal. So if you represent the klal, the same way, this is what the Rambam writes in Hilchos Kiddush HaChodesh and Sefer HaMitzvos, they have that role of being the body that represents the entire tzibur. So they're mechuyav to oversee the korbanos tzibur, as opposed to korbanos yachid, that's on every single individual. So as we go through these topics in the Gemara, we're going to find out that korbanos tzibur are going to be different than korbanos yachid. It's not exactly the distinction the Mishnah says between zmano kavua and not zmano kavua, but it's related to that because most korbanos tzibur are zmano kavua and most korbanos yachid are not zmano kavua. So, like the Mishnah we saw in the beginning of Yuma about Elo Shel Aaron, there are some exceptions in all directions, but knowing that there is a difference between a korban tzibur and a korban yachid is important. Another distinction here on your list of number four is the difference between Kodshe Kodshim and Kodeshim Kalim. On the one hand, we say in the Mishnah Pirkei Avos, Alte Mitzvah Kala, Alte Mitzvah Kala Be'enecha, She'enat Yodei Matan Schar Shal Mitzvahs. We treat all mitzvahs equally. But that's not true. A, we don't treat all mitzvahs equally when we have a conflict between mitzvahs. And B, secretly, even though Alte Mitzvah Kala Be'enecha, you shouldn't think of any mitzvah as kal, but we know there are mitzvahs which are more kal and which are more chomer. So the Gemara says in the beginning of Yevamos that los aseh are more chomer than aseh. We know that there are chiluke kapara, when the Rambam Hilchos Tshuva quotes the Gemara in Yuma about what a person needs to do to atone for various mistakes because there are different gradations. You know, and when it comes to mitzvahs as well, the mitzvah of achai bahem, according to the conclusion, let's say the psak in the Gemara in Yuma of being docha Shabbos, that tells you that the mitzvah of achai bahem, as mitzvah saseh, is very high mitzvah. We say pidyon shvuyim or puruvu. They're called a mitzvah rabba. So there is a hierarchy of mitzvahs, and the same thing is true in the world of kedusha. Shimon Achi Azari, we'll get to him. I think, you know, the idea of a hierarchy within korbanos. So kodshe kodshim are higher ranking. They are more sanctified. They have a higher level of kedusha than kodshim kalim. Than lighter, more, I don't know, light. I don't know how else to say it without diminishing It just means they're not as kadosh as kachay kachim. So what's the practical ramification? What does it matter whether something is kachay kachim or kachim kalim? So there's big differences. Number one, the Mishnah end of Zvachim, we know that Todir Eschavero is Kodim, but also the Mishnah says, Mekudesh. So if you have a question, you're at a crossroads, and you have to prioritize one over another, whether that's prioritizing in Zman, in time, or prioritizing in a question of exclusivity. You don't have funds for two options. You only have funds for one. So you're going to prioritize Mekudesh, which is going to be Kachim Kach, Kachim Kachim, over Kachim Kalim. Second one is going to be another big one, is going to be Me'ila. So this is what the Mishnayos and Me'ila are all about, that when you have Kachim Kachim, you are going to have instant Me'ila throughout, because Me'ila is misappropriating something which is designated for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If it's for personal, if the item is for personal use, you can't have Me'ila. Since Kachim Kalim have a Chelek HaBailim, there is an element of them which is for the owner. So let's say Shlomim is Kachim Kalim. A portion of the Shlomim, the meat is going to be eaten by the Bailim. So that portion, that means that this animal is not strictly, exclusively under the domain of the jurisdiction of the Rabbono Shel Olam, so to speak. B'locha l'aretz kavoto, notwithstanding. Eino b'vado, notwithstanding. So therefore, a person who uses kachim kalim doesn't have me'ila, because there's still a chelek of the bailim that's floating around there. Once you take out the emurim, those emurim, they're treated like kachim kachim, because they're exclusively in the domain of the gavoha. As opposed to kachim kachim, they are instantly misha huktishu. Once they have kedusha, there is me'ila. A third nafkamina has to do with the limitations, because anytime you have, and this is a principle in general in Yadus, we alluded to it earlier, when you have a higher level of kedusha, means the presence of the Ribbono Shel Olam is felt in that arena very intensely, so then there is a higher level of caution and hazard and distinction. So when the Ribbono Shel Olam came to Matan Torah, so they had to put a fence around the mountain. And when you come to the Beis HaMikdash, there have to be layers. There's the Chel, where certain people can go, the Ezos Nashim, where others can go, Azarak, and some can go, Ulam LeMizbeach, etc. So because Kachay Kachim are of higher rank, so then they have greater limitation. They have greater restrictions. So Kachay Kachim, the Rambam writes in Maisar Kabbonis in Perek Yud Halacha Gimel, Kachay Kachim are only eaten by Zichrei, Kuhuna, in the Azara. So they're restricted both in their accessibility to people and their geographic locale. You can't take kachay kachim and eat them in Yerushalayim where you would eat kachim kalim. Okay, so adkan, aleph, beis, gimel, dalet. Types of kedusha, neder, nedava, tzibur, and yachid, kachay kachim, kachim kalim. I'm not an expert in kachim. I'm just learning along together with you. But these are some of the thoughts that we've been, you know, that I've been trying to put together, trying to organize. Any questions, comments, or observations to the best of my ability?
Kachim kalim are not mishal chumah.
So that's a good question. So Rabbi Yossi Aglili and the Chachamim have a dispute about this. What's the nature of this? It comes up in Kiddushin about whether or not you're Mekadosh Bechelko. So that's a dispute. And how do you understand that? That's exactly what the dispute is over there. To what extent does the Kachim Kalim, is it Misyachis to the Bailim? Or it's the Bailim are entitled to a Chelek of the Gavoa? That's exactly the Machlokas. I think it comes up in a few places in Kachim, but it also, I think it's more famous. People know it from that Sugya in Mekadosh Bechelko. And there's a difference there, by the way, between Mechaim and Lachar Misa. Because whether you're mafra the chelik or not.
There's also a distinction about where we can eat this, right?
Yes, that's what we said. Kachim kalim can be eaten anywhere in Yerushalayim.
Usually,
kachim kachim are more restricted than kachim kalim. So shlomim can be eaten shnei yom v'layla echad, and kachim kachim are usually just yom v'layla. It's one other unusual quirk about kachim that, when it comes to general halacha, yom holech achar alayla, but when it comes to kachim, Lila's Holocha Haryom. There's probably a... There's a lot to say about that in terms of the nature of the Bria and Olam Hazeh and Yom being the consequence or the goal to get to, whereas when you're starting the Mikdash, you're starting with the Yom. There's more, probably a lot to say about that. Any other comments, things to add? Anything to add? Okay. Now, we have this carbon. When it comes to the procedure of a carbon, from a procedural standpoint, there are four primary avodas, which is a little bit of a misnomer because there's some controversy about this, but we refer to them as the dalet avodos, the four services, the four processes that we do to accomplish at least the primary goal of the carbon. There are other aspects of the carbon. So let's say there's a mitzvah called smicha, where a person takes both of their hands. It's a question about women, but for sure for men, men is a chiyuv. Question, women, are they allowed to? Can they volunteer? Not allowed to. It's a big discussion. But a man has to take two hands, if he's a korban is chayv in smicha, and rest b'kol kocho with his entire force on top of the head of the animal. But the Gemara says that that's a mitzvah, but it's not li'kuva. So it is a part of the service of the korban, but that's not essential and indispensable to accomplishing the goal of the karban. The avodas adam are indispensable. They are essential. So the shechita, that's the first act which happens to the blood. What does the shechita do for the blood? It separates it from the animal. Then kabbalah, you catch it in the kli shareis. Holacha, you walk it to the mizbeach. And then zrika, you spill it on the mizbeach. Now, there's a lot of controversy about this because the Gemara has an expression that shechita lav avoda, which is why it's kosher. It's kosher bizar. Okay, we'll leave that. Holacha, we're going to see, is somewhat controversial because what if you shecht right next to the mizbeach? So maybe you don't need to do holacha. Or holacha shelo beregel, you can lean over. But naniach, those are the four avodas. So Rashi points out, the Gemara alludes to this, although I'm not aware that anywhere in Shas, I would love to, if somebody would tell me if there is such a place, but I don't believe that anywhere in Shas the Gemara makes this exact parallel, but the Gemara alludes to this. The Gemara takes it as a given that Menachos have four parallel avodos to the avodas Adam. And that's what Rashi spells it out for us in Menachos and Dav Zayin Amud Beis, Dibra Maskel Midam. He points out that the Kemitza is Makbil, the Shechita, and then putting the Kemitza Matan Kli is Makbil, the Kabbalah, and then carrying it to the Mizbeach, that's Makbil, the Holacha, and then putting it on the Mizbeach, the Makter it, so that's the equivalent of the Zrika. So those are the four steps, parallel between Zvachim and Dam, and those four steps achieve the accomplishment, the primary objective of the Karban, and they are called, that's called a Matir, that enables, so that's going to enable, so for example, when it comes to a Karban, that's a busser, that's for a shlomim, for the bialim to eat it, or the kohanim, they have a chelek, let's say, in a karban, not an ola, let's say a chatas. So the kohanim can only eat that karban, their chelek, or the bialim, after the primary objective, which is accomplished, which is at the zrika. Similarly, you have the matu, you allow the bialim, let's say, to eat the shiare mincha, only after you've done the last of these four avodos, you've done the haktara. Now there is, excuse me, the kohanim are going to eat the shari mincha. Exactly, there are no bialim eating menachos except for a karban todah. Okay, the last step when it comes to a zevach is haktara, and that I just put it on your list. I don't know if anybody had a chance to read that article. There is a piece from the Gaon. Rav Menachem Zemba, Shimi Kamdamu Zchus Yagan Aleinu. Rav Menachem Zemba. Does everyone know Rav Menachem Zemba? Have you met him?
Not yet.
Oh. It was Kedai to come to the Kolot just for this. No?
Just know Rav Zemba.
Yeah. Rav Menachem Zemba was known... What's that?
Eiravid, so it's Totsah season.
That's right.
Totsah.
What's that?
Also.
That's right. Totsos Chaim. So Menachem Zemba, before the war, was known as the Prager Ely. Not Prague, like in Czechoslovakia. There is a suburb of Warsaw called Praga, P-R-A-G-A. So he was like he was an orphan at a young age. So he was raised by his family, I think his grandfather, the group of Ger Hasidim. He was a wild Elohim, unbelievable giant. So he was like a synthesis of his Hasidish upbringing, but also his yeshiva learning. He wrote an entire pirush on the Rambam, an entire pirush on the Yerushalmi, 10,000 pages of Chidushei Torah that were all lost. In addition to, he wrote a couple of other things. So this is in the Zera Avram, which is found. And then we also have a skinny volume on Shabbos called Totzos Chaim. But the vast, vast majority, he was unbelievable gone. Unbelievable, tremendous, tremendous person. So he was actually one of the active Rabbanim who were leading Jews in the Warsaw Ghetto before he was killed in Chol Hamoed Pesach during the Warsaw Ghetto uprising. So most, according to Dr. Seidman, the reason, I don't know if it's the reason, but a reason that he didn't want to leave the ghetto when he had papers to get out, was because of his chidushim, as it was mamash life work, all of Rambam, all of Yerushalmi. So the Shamba Shamilino is chus you're going to lay him. So Menachem Zemba has
what?
What
do we have? Just those two.
We have, I think, beyond the Zera Avram and the Totzos Chaim, the Totzos Chaim. I think there are like a few scattered essays, but I don't think there's any other published works. So it's like immeasurable loss, immeasurable. So if anybody had a chance to look at that article from Rabbi Feldman, he notes in that context that Rabbi Nachum Zemba points out that Haktara is a little different than the Avodah Saddam, because if the Ritzui is accomplished before, once you did the Zrika, so what's the purpose of Haktara? So he points out that Haktara has a little bit of a different role when it comes to Zvachim. It relates, you could argue, more to the cheftza of the carbon than the gavra of the carbon. Every carbon has its cheftza, its identity, but it also has someone who is associated with it. And that's one of the topics that we have to deal with, about somebody who dies and they moorish the carbon to someone else. Someone is the difference between a miskaper versus the bala carbon. A lot of different things related to that. So Rabbi Nachum Zemba points out, he suggests that maybe you could talk about haktara being related, not exclusively, but primarily to the chefza of the carbon, not to the bala carbon. Once they did the Zrika Saddam, so then you're essentially done vis-a-vis the bala carbon. And that's why he quotes a Tosfos in the beginning of Zvachim, who says that the Kavonas HaSoveach falls away before Haktara. Once you're up to the stage of Haktara, Kavonas HaSoveach doesn't matter, because the relationship between the Bilem and the Karbon is a little bit different. It's not the same as it was before. So what comes out is that you have the four Avodos Hadam. That is an Avoda which is being done to and with and in the Karbon itself, and relates to the Bilem, as opposed to the Haktara, which is an Avoda, but it's not exactly the same Avoda. The Haktara is going to be done at nighttime, whereas other Avodas, Zrikas Dam, the Dam is Nifsal, B'Shkiyas Lachama. This is the if you look at Rav Avadya, in one of the Tshuvas, where he discusses, can you daven Mincha after Shkia? So growing up, this was a Halacha, I don't know, we call it Halacha. It was you try to daven before Shkia, but in our Shtibel, Shkia didn't really scare anybody. Rav Avadya has a discussion about this. Why? Because if Mincha is paralleling the Talmud Shel Bein Rabbayim, and the Dam is Nifsal B'Shkiyas Lachama, so then you can't daven Mincha anymore. So that is the nafkamina of this question. So Rav Avadya has a long discussion about whether or not in the Yechav Adas, about whether it's Dafka Shkia or at Seis, about when's the last time to daven Mincha, but it parallels this. As opposed to the Haktara can be done at night. Well, the Haktara is going to be independent of the Dalet Avodos. The next topic, which is going to be the first major topic we're going to talk about, introduced at the beginning of Menachos, is the concept of Lishma. Now, the idea that a person has to have the proper intention when it comes to offering a karbon accents the same idea that we mentioned earlier, that the world of Kodshim, because we're in Mechitzos Shal Kodesh Baruch Hu, is very sensitive. And it's more sensitive than perhaps any other area of Halacha. And therefore, if a person, you know, isn't paying so much attention or has ulterior motives why they're going to put on tefillin, Lamaisa, they're going to be Yotze tefillin. Now, there is a question about Mitzvah Srichas Kavana, and there is a concept of Lishma and Kol Torah Kula, as we'll talk about at great length. But the idea of Lishma takes center stage when it comes to the realm of Kachin, because we're so close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that even our thoughts need to be regulated and focused. So the Gemara says in the beginning of Svachim, Daftalid, Vim Zevach Shlomim Karbono, yeah, it should be Lezevach Shlomim. It should be offered for the purpose of a Shlomim. And Rashi quotes that right here, the top Rashi in the second page on Beis HaMebeis Menachos quotes this. It's not what he quotes in the beginning of Zachim, so that's a discussion, but at least here, he quotes Vim Zevach Shlomim Karbono, there is a positive requirement to shecht the carbon for its purpose. Well, what does it mean for its purpose? So the Mishnah says in Zvachim, involvement base, L'shem Shisha Zvarim HaZevach Nizbach. It's got to be L'shem Ishim, L'shem Hashem. It's what the Gemara gives you. The Mishnah tells you six things for which you have to shecht the carbon. And if you look in the Rambam, in Hilchos Maaser Karbonos, Perek Dal, Halach Yud Aleph, the Lecha Mishnah is medayik in that Rambam, that according to the Rambam, all of these six kavanos are going to be ma'akiv. So you have to have a focused intent. If you are the Oved, we don't paskin like, there is one minority opinion that says that the Bilam affect the outcome of the Karbon in terms of Machshava, we don't paskin like that. The Kohen has to have these six positive intentions in mind of Lishma. There's an obligation to have Lishma, that's a mitzvah, and we'll see it's going to be Ma'akev. And the Rambam holds that it has to be all six of them. In which avodos do you require lishma? So that same Rambam, if you look in the Mishnah Melech, his sounds like it's more than just the Shechita, and the Mishnah Melech quotes there that maybe the Tosfos disagrees. Tosfos sounds like it's only the first avoda. But the idea is that lishma is going to play a central role in the Karban. So there's an obligation to have lishma. It's got to be at least for the name of the carbon, but potentially, like the Rambam sounds like, it's got to be all six. And there's going to be some discussion about whether or not that's dafka in the initial or in all of the avodas. So that's in terms of the nature of lishma. Then further discussion in lishma is going to be the fact that usually we say there's something called stama lishma. So then we're going to have to figure out, what is the nature of stama lishma? Is that a unique din of the carbon? Is that because the carbon has already a pre-existing kedusha, which is the kedusha's peh, turned into the kedusha's haguf? Or is it just because aldas rishona hu oseh? And then there's one more complication in lishma, which, because we had people who would get confused, or I don't know, they would get distracted somehow, so we had a Tanai based in that people should dafka say just stama lishma. So we have to figure out how that fits into all of this, you know, when there's a Tanai based in. So lishma is going to be a major factor. And the opposite of lishma, which is the second half of this point, is if you have something which is shalom lishma. So the pasuk says, lo yechashev, which the Gemara says in Zvachim, is the makar not to think of something other than what it's supposed to be. So if you have a machshava, which is, if you look at the Pesulim HaMikdash, the Rambam in Perek Yud Gimel talks about at the beginning, there are multiple machshavos that could ruin your karbon. One is what we call machshavas pigol, that's thinking that you're going to be makter or eat the karbon, the respective chalakim of it, either chutz lezmano, which is bona fide pigol, or chutz lemakomo, which is quasi pigol. Or no, it's Doraisa but no Karis. Doraisa but no Karis. Right. Doraisa but no Karis. But then the Rambam says, Machsheva Shalol Lishma. And within that Shalol Lishma, there's what we call Shinui Kodesh, where you are Mishana, you change the Kodesh, the sanctity, the identity of the animal. So you change this carbon from being a carbon Shlamim to a carbon Ola. Now, the Gemara has Machlokas, Akira betol, Shmei Akira or not, if that happened inadvertently. But let's go with the assumption that every case that we're going to talk about here in the beginning of the Masechta is deliberate. So you deliberately change the Shlomim into an Ola, or you attempted to change that Shlomim into an Ola, or vice versa. So that's called Shinui Kodesh. And then there's something called Shinui Bailim. It was originally going to be Ruven Shlomim, and you, the Kohen Oved, was Makrovit on behalf of Shimon. So that's Shinui Bailam. So there's Shinui Kodesh and Shinui Bailam, which the Rambam groups under Shinui Hashem. This is the opposite of Lishma. This is Shalol Lishma. So now we're going to have to figure out, when we learn this, when you did Shalol Lishma, is that just the absence of Lishma? Or is that actually undermining, that is some kind of negative influence that is rooting out, is destroying the fabric of the Karban? And within that discussion, you can wonder about the relationship between machshava and the maisa that you did. In the beginning of Temura, we had a lot of discussion about kol da omer achmona lo savid yavid mahani or lo mahani. So how that discussion relates to our topic of shelo lishma, but is it yavid mahani or not? There's an interesting kovetz ha'aris in Yavamas and Simon Ayin Dal, Berabel Chanan relates that to the world of Kachim as well. So machshava of lishma and the opposite of shelo lishma is central to the world of Kachim. And then when we talk about this idea of machshava, this question of kavana, well, what is it? So there's a big machlokas which we'll have to deal with in the Rishonim. When you say that the Kohen had the Machashiv, so the Rambam Sulei Mekdashin, it sounds, and the Mishnah Melech points this out there in the Perakid Gimel Halacha Aleph, the Rambam sounds like it's really all in your mind. It's Machashiv. A person thinks something or thinks something else. But if you look in Tosus and Bava Metzia, Daf Mem Gimel Amavei, Dima Maschal Achoshiv, then there are lots more Marmakomos on each of these topics, of course, but this is just like a basic shout out. Tosus says, no, Machashiv means you have to say it. You have to actually express it verbally. Two more points. One is the idea of Shina Olav HaKasav La'akev or Shana Olav HaKasav La'akev. Shina means it did something different by repeating it, or Shana means it repeated it. So Tosas and Zvachim, Adav Dalin Medbeis, Dibra HaMaskel, Ema suggests and holds that this is a din dafka in the world of Kachim. This din does not apply in Kol Tarakula, and that's why we're going to keep seeing this over and over again, that there is a search for Shana Olav or Shina Olav HaKasav La'akev to make sure that we have a second pasuk. The Torah has to recite it twice. One is to tell you the mitzvah. The second one is to tell you La'akev that it is essential and indispensable, and that if you're missing it, you have ruined the carbon, so to speak. There is a chazonish in Negaim, Yud Beis Chaf, who disagrees with this, but the Tosas opinion is, and I think for many, the working assumption is that the din of Shina Olav HaKasav La'akev is Dafka Din in Kachim, which is why it's interesting. You don't really see that much. That expression doesn't come up much in the rest of Shas. It's really a Kachim expression. So the Chazon Ish explains in his view why it is that even though it doesn't come up, it's really operative. But Tosas holds that this is a Kachim-based idea, and that's why in the beginning of Zvachim, the beginning of Menachos, you're going to find a lot of references to this. Yeah, Ashkachan LaMitzvah La'akim Inayim, because there is this unique din. And the last point, point number 10, in terms of the kiyum of a carbon, what does it mean you have a kiyum of a carbon? So one phrase that keeps coming up in the world of Kachim is the concept of Ritzui. Ritzui L'Ratzos means to appease, or means to accomplish that will. So ultimately, our karbonos are l'ratzon. We want to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We want to be miskariv to Him. Karbon comes from the word karov. We want to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to create this appeasement, this connection. How to create this appeasement, this connection? By fulfilling the ratzon Hashem. He doesn't need our karbonos. He doesn't need our tefillos. He doesn't need our animals, our bread, anything. He doesn't need that. So by fulfilling the ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, somehow we tap into this spiritual channel and we develop this connection to Him. So that's why the word ritzui is going to appear. For example, when you finish the Zrikas Adam, that accomplished the ritzui of the karbon. But that concept of being misratzeh can be broken down between the karbon itself and the individual who offered the karbon. Now, what has been accomplished here? Is it that the ratzon of Hashem was accomplished by this carbon following its process, or that you as an individual have created that bond with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? That distinction, that chefetz kavzer distinction, is going to bring us to thinking about this concept of ritzui, or kiyum of the carbon, in the context of what the Gemara is going to call, the Mishnah is going to call, kosher v'lo alu. You can have a carbon which is kosher, it was effective, and you can now do the haktara. However, the karbon was lo alu. It did not serve the function for the purpose of the bialim who was obligated to bring this karbon, on whose behalf the karbon was being brought. And so thinking about this idea of the kiyum, it's not like a mitzvah where you just have, either you did the mitzvah or you didn't have the mitzvah. Here, you have a ritzui. That ritzui can relate either to the karbon itself, the carbon could have accomplished something, or it relates to the bialim, where the bialim were obligated. So to summarize, we talked about different levels of Kedusha, sugim of Kedusha, whether it was Kedushas Damim, Kedushas Peh, or which creates Kedushas Aguf or Kedushas Carbon, the difference between a Neder and a Nedava, Nachminov Achrayas, Carbon Tzibur and Carbon Yachid, which is going to depend on who paid for it. Kochim, 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 kalim. The severity, the seriousness, the gravity of the level of Kedusha, nafkaminas for Kedima, Me'ila, and the limitations of the Korban. We talked about the Dalet Avodos, which are both in the realm of Dam and Menachos. We talked about Haktar being this unusual stage, which is part of the process, but it's a little bit distinct. We talked about the concept of Lishma, both as it relates to the Chiyav, to invoke and instill Lishma in the Korban. The fact that there are different levels of Lishma, meaning the six different layers or dimensions, the different kavanas that go into the lishma, and which avodas require lishma, stama lishma, but what if you did it shalol lishma? Does it undermine? Is it just a lack? The concept of kavana, whether it's expressed in machshava, or dafka needs to be in dibur, the uniqueness of kachim, according to Tosas, that it's subject to shino because of la'akiv, and then this last point, that the kiyum of a karban is different than the kiyum of a mitzvah, and therefore you can have this concept, which we'll have to talk about at greater length, whether kasher velo alu. What does it mean that it's kosher v'lo alu? Is it that it's just lo alu for the bialim, or is it a pagam in the carbon itself? That's a last nuance that we're going to have to look for when we go through these sugyas in depth. Ad kan, divrei hakdama.